Okay, let's pick up from the Gemara Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. We're about 6-7 lines where it says Tani Tana Kamidrav Sheshes. Where it says as follows: Tani Tana Kamidrav Sheshes. There was a Tana that taught before of Sheshes. Ha'akama Ovdim as Ha'harim v'Sagvos. If you have a guy who worships the mountains or the hills, Hein Mutarn v'Ovdim b'Sayif. They are permitted, meaning the mountains remain as permitted. They're not usher, but now they don't become avodah zarah. Ve'ovdein b'sayif, but those who worship are deserving of sayif. They're deserving of being killed by the sword. Now, who's the worshippers? We're talking about the goyim right now, because we know that the halacha is that anything that's under one of the zayin mitzvahs b'nei noach, if a guy violates one of the zayin mitzvahs b'nei noach, he's deserving of misa by the sword. So in other words, even though it's not Avodah Zarah, even though the mountain isn't considered Avodah Zarah, but when they worship the mountain, so the act is considered an act of Avodah Zarah worship, and therefore they would be deserving of death. Ves ha-zirayim, ves ha-yirakos. Now, if we're dealing with sprouts or vegetables that they're worshipping, heina surin, they are aser ve'ovdein b'saif, and the ones who worship them are deserving of misa by the sword. So in other words, when they're worshipping mountains, the mountains don't become usher, but the people are still deserving of misa. When they're worshipping these plants, these vegetables, then they are usher, and the people who the plants become usher, the vegetables become usher, but the worshippers are also going to be chayiv misa. So that is what the Tana was teaching over this Tosefta in the presence of Rav Sheshes. So Amalei, Rav Sheshes says to the Tana, Darma Lachamani. So Lakum, who exactly is saying this? Who's the Tana of this Tosefta? Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Ilan Shenatal of Sof Avdo Aser, because we know that Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you have a tree that was planted first and then later on it was worshipped, that tree becomes Aser. In other words, we know before there was a big machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. What does it take in order to make an Asherah tree Aser? So on the one hand, the way the Rashi understood it is that, well, you need tefisas yad. Anytime you're making an avodah zarah, if in order to properly make an avodah zarah, that there has to be the human hand involved in creating it. And if you didn't have significant enough of an active part of the human in the creation of this avodah zarah, it doesn't constitute avodah zarah. The question is, to what extent do you need human involvement in the creation of this avodah zarah? So Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that just putting the seed in the ground, you grow this shrub, this tree, whatever it is, then you wake up 20 years later and you want to worship it, and this fellow bows down to it. That's enough to make it into avodah zarah. Elon shouldn't tell us above those asr. According to the Chum, say no. The only way to make an asherah tree is that from the get-go you had to have planted it, having in mind to worship this as an Asherah tree. So either way, similar over here, that for the plants, it is possible to make these plants, to make these vegetables, usher. How so? Because it's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who holds that Ilan Shenatel of Sof Avdo, that even if they didn't plant it originally, L'Shem Avodah Zarah, but if they worshipped it later on, that's going to make it Avodah Zarah. So, says the Gemara, V'lukma, now the Bach has a slight change over here, where it's Bizraim, why are you assuming that the case is where the plants, the Zeraim and the Yerakas were not planted originally L'Shem Avodah Zarah? You're just assuming they planted vegetables and then later on they decided to worship it. So, and if that's the case, then this coheres only with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. But maybe that's not the case of the Braisa. Maybe the case of the Tosefta. It all it says is that if you have a guy who worships these plants, maybe the case is where they planted those plants or the vegetables originally, having in mind to worship them, in which case that would be even the opinion of the Chachamim, that when you have plants that were planted originally, L'shem Avodah Zarah, to worship them later on, so then when they go ahead and they worship those plants, that does make the plants into Avodah Zarah. So V'lukma Bizraim Shezaran Mitchil L'kach V'rabanan, why don't you establish the case of the Braisa to be where it's plants that were planted originally L'shem Avodah Zarah, and then it fits with the Chachamim as well. So the Gemara says, Lo sakadai techno, don't suggest such a thing. Why not? Diketani dum yadahar, because clearly the Tana there's is establishing a parallel between worshipping mountains and worshipping these plants. And that's why they're lumped together in this Tosefta, in this Halacha. And so, therefore, what? So Lo sakadai tech, diketani dum yadahar, mahar shalom netel metchil lakach, just as when we're dealing with a mountain, the mountain wasn't planted originally the Shem of Rezara, it just was a mountain, and then someone started bowing down to it. So, therefore, the parallel case for vegetables, for Zerayim, would be where the plants were first planted, and then later on, someone came along and decided to worship it. So, Afhainami, Shalom Natal, Matchil, Kach, Sesotu, over here, this case is also where it wasn't originally planted, L'Shem of Rezara, it was first planted as a regular plant, and then they woke up one day and decided to worship it, in which case, the only Yeshita that we know of who would hold that this should be Aser is going to be the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. So that's the Tana, that's the Tosefta that was taught before Rav Sheshes. Now, Itmar, there is a discussion that we find among the Amoraim regarding the following issue. Avnei Harsha Nadaldalu, if you have the stones of a mountain that were, now literally Nadaldalu, like Ladaldel is when you have something that's Avraham Adoldal, a limb that's hanging off. In other words, it was the rocks in the mountain, normally you have to hew these stones from the mountain. Well, they came off all by themselves. They became uprooted from the mountain all by themselves. And then a guy saw this rock lying there, and he bowed down to it. So what's the halacha in that case? Does the stone become avodah zarah or not? Right? On the one hand, we know that if a person bows down to the mountain doesn't become aser. And so if stones came off from that mountain, it wouldn't become aser. But what happened if the best way to make it avodah zarah, right, would be, and we'll talk about this, Bezer Hashem, later on, is that the best way to make it us would be to hew the stone, having in mind to worship it, and then you sever the stone from the mountain, you hew the stone, and then he worships it. So, but that's not what happened here. The stone came off all by itself, and then the guy worshipped it. He bowed down to it. So now, what's the halach here? B'nei Rav Chiya and Rav Yochanan. So this was a discussion where B'nei Rav Chiya and Rav Yochanan talked about it, and Chad Amar Asuros. One said that okay, so that they are aser, it does effectively make the stones in Avodah Zarah, the Chadam Ramataras. But one says, no, they don't become Avodah Zarah, the stones are still permitted. Okay, so that's the machlokas Amoraim between the Bnei Rav Chiya and Rav Yochanan. So says the Gemara, my time to demand the Amar Mutaris. What's the reasoning for the opinion of the Amoru who held that these stones do not become us when the guy bows down to them? The answer is kahar. It's because it's like the mountain, mahar, just like when we're dealing with the mountain itself, she'im b'tfisa sedei adam, which has no human involvement in the creation of this avodah zarah. Right, the mountain is just a mountain. It's a naturally forming entity, and then someone bows down to it. So the mountain doesn't become usher, it's mother. So afhani, so also these stones, shein ben tfisa sidei adam, there was no human involvement in creating these stones as avodah zarah, and so therefore when someone bows down to it, that's not sufficient to make it avodah zarah mutar, and so therefore they are permitted, because it's true, even though someone did bow down to them, but there has to be human involvement in creating this entity in order to make it into avodah zarah. So that's the assumption. The assumption is that whoever holds that the stones retain their heter, their status as heter, is because there wasn't tfisas yad adam. There wasn't significant human involvement in creating this entity, and therefore bowing down is not sufficient to make them usher bahana. So says the Gemara, malahar, but then what is to mountain? Meaning, how can you make an application from the rules for a mountain to apply that to the stones that came off on their own? Shekin mechubar, a mountain is connected to the ground. So maybe the rules for a mountain are totally different. Maybe when it comes to a mountain, it's not just that there isn't tfisas yad adam, it's that it's connected to the ground. Maybe that's why bowing down is not sufficient. But this, maybe it's disconnected from the ground, and therefore bowing down should be sufficient to make it aser. So says the Gemara, no, behemah tochiach, animals will prove otherwise. What does this mean? In other words, an animal, we know an animal is something that's not connected to the ground, and it does not become aser when you bow down to it. Now, if you were right then, that the minute that something is disconnected from the ground, that all you have to do is bow down in order to make it aser, and that's why we should say that for stones that were disconnected from the mountain, that if someone bows down to them, they should become aser. So that's not true, because a behemoth is something that's disconnected from the ground, and if someone bows down to it, does not become aser b'ana. How do I know? And Rashi explains this. Rashi says, I know that it doesn't become aser b'ana, because we know that when it comes to karbanos, there's a halacha that we learn from the pasuk in Nach of Mashki Yisrael, that it has to be something that you, a person, is allowed to consume that's not Asur Banah, those are the things that you're allowed to offer as karbanah. So something that's Asur Banah to people, you're not allowed to offer that as a karban. But even so, the pasuk goes out of its way. In the pasuk in Vayikra, where it says, min habakar, we learn out from min habakar, that not all cattle can be brought as a karban. What's it? Something that can't be? Something that was worshipped? Which means then that the Torah has to go out of its way to tell you that when something is worshipped, when a person worships an animal, that animal can be brought as a carbon. What does that tell you? Well, clearly, it's not Asur Banah to people. Because if it were Asur Banah to people, the Torah wouldn't have to go out of its way to tell you that it's Asur. And therefore, so from the fact that the Torah does go out of its way to tell you that it's Asur, must be that it's not Asur Banah. So says the Gemara, how can you make an application from a mountain which is mechuber, it's connected to the ground, and that's why bowing down is not sufficient to make it usher. But maybe it could be then a stone that came off on its own. If you bow down, that would be sufficient to make it usher. So Gemara says, no, behema tochiach. Behema will prove otherwise, because we know that a behema is not mechuber to the ground, and still when you bow down to it, that does not make it usher banah. It makes it usher the gavoa, makes it usher to bring it as a carbon, doesn't make it usher banah. So says the Gemara, well, wait a second, ma'al behema, but how can you prove anything from a behema? Shekin ba'al l'schaim, an animal is something that's alive. It could be that the reason that when you bow down to an animal, you can't make it aser bahana, because it's alive. A live living creature is something of major significance, and it's not so simple to make such a thing aser bahana by just bowing down to it. So again, where does this leave us? We had a discussion where we said that Avnei Harshin Adaldalu is Machlokas Amarayim, if that's Asr, or Mutter when a guy bows down to it. So the Gemara says, what's the reason to say that it's Mutter? For the position says that it's Mutter, because it should be like the mountain. Mountain, there's no Tfisas Yad, right? If a person bows down to the mountain, he had no hand in creating the mountain, and so therefore, bowing down does not effectively make it Asr by now. So too, the rocks. There was no hand in creating these rocks if they came off the mountain all by themselves, and so therefore it shouldn't be Asr. So Gemara says, you can't apply the rules from a mountain, because a mountain is something that's connected to the ground. That's why you can't make it Asr if you bow down to it. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? I see that for animals, you can't make animals Asr Banah, and they're not connected to the ground. So Gemara says, yeah, but for animals, an animal is something that's alive. Something that's alive you can't make Asr by just bowing down. Maybe that's what's going on. So the Gemara will say, well, then Hariyochiach, well, then a mountain will show you otherwise, though, because a mountain is something that's not alive. And still, you can't make it Asr Banah. So you can't say that so again, we're trying to figure out what is the factor, what is it about a mountain or about an animal that makes it that you can't make it Asr Banah by just bowing down to it. So V'chazar Adin, Lo Rizak, clearly this one has a factor that this one doesn't have, and this one has a factor that this one doesn't have. And therefore, we're going to have to figure out what is the primary, what's the factor, the driving force for preventing this from being able to become Asr Banah by bowing down to it. So Atzadashav Hashem, so what's the common denominator between animals and mountains that will show us that it's because of this factor that you can't make it Asr Banah by just bowing down. So it's Adashav Hashem she'ein ben tfisas adei adam umoter. Must be because there was no human involvement in the creation of an animal. There's no human involvement in the creation of the mountain. And that's why you can't make it Asr Banah. That's why if you bow down to it, it doesn't become Asr Banah. So af kol she'ein ben tfisas adei adam umoter. So too. Anything else that doesn't have the human involvement in its formation is something that is mutter, that you can't just bow down and make it Asr. And that's going to be the basis for the opinion who says that if Avnei Harshin Adaltalu are mutaros, even though God bowed down to them, it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Because of this common denominator, that there is no tfisas sidei adam, and therefore it's going to be mutter. So says the Gemara, no, but ma'al atzadah shavash, what kind of application can you make based on the common denominator between a mountain and rocks? Those are things that were not changed from their original the way that they originally were when they were created. In other words, for an animal or for a mountain, those are things that there was absolutely no change at all, and therefore, yeah, I can understand it didn't undergo any change, so that's why you can't make those things Asr Banah by bowing down. But it could very well be then that for stones, which do have some change, right? It started off as part of the mountain and now it came apart from the mountain. Maybe it should be able to become Asr Banah by bowing down. So says the Gemara. Ella, I'll tell you what it is. It can't be that we got the common denominator 100% correct. It's like this. Ella asya mi behema balas mum omehar. It must be. It's because of behemas balas mum, an animal that has a mum, and ahar. In other words, from the common denominator that exists by an animal that's a baal mom, that has a blemish of some sort, and a mountain. Meaning to say, an animal that's a baal mom, an animal that has a blemish, is not neseres. It does not become usher if someone bows down to it. And a mountain, also we know, is something that does not become usher when someone bows down to it. So now you're going to say, but wait a second, how can you derive any rules from an animal that's a baal mum and from the mountain? Isn't it, don't we know that for an animal, it's something that's alive, and that's why it can't become usher? Maybe that's why, but so you'll say, well, a mountain is something that's not alive. So we'll say, okay, but a mountain is connected to the ground. So we'll say, okay, but an animal is not connected to the ground and it can become us or the gavoa. So what we'll say, okay, so you're right, chazar din lo rizeh k'rizeh v'lo rizeh k'rizeh, and you'll say, what's the tzadish of it? What's the common denominator that we find in an animal that's a baal mum and the mountain that prevents them from being able to become us or bana? The answer is, must be, is that there's no tfisas adam, there's no tfisas adam in their formation. And that's why there's no, and that's why those are things that can't become usher. So it says, okay, so ela usher mi behema baal smo umehar, inami mi behema tama umi ilin yavish. Alternatively, from an animal that's a tama, that has no blemish, and from an ilan that's dried up. In other words, an ilan that's all dried up is something that is nishtanim ebriyasa, right? It is changed. It was originally a healthy tree, now it's an all dried up, stale tree. And so even so, when a person bows down to such a tree, the chacham hold that such a tree does not become usher. So what's the reason? Again, it's because of the tzara shav that exists. It's that we know that there's no tfisa sidei adam. There was no significant human involvement in the creation of this item as in forming it as an avodah zara, and therefore that's why it can't become usher by bowing down. And that's the idea over here. That's the same thing for the avanim shenadaldalu. Okay, so again, where does it, just to put it together, we said originally there was a machlokas amirayim, when you have avni harsha nadadlu, stones from a mountain that came dangling off from the mountain, they came off all on their own, a guy bows down to them, are they us or mutter? There's a position that says it's mutter. We're trying to figure out what's the reasoning. Ultimately, the Gemara says, it's because we know that we can distill what is the fact that it takes for something to be impervious to becoming us or bana by means of bowing down. What is it? It's that we know that from an animal that's a baal mum and from mountain, that when something doesn't have significant human involvement in its creation as an avodah zara, that can't become usher later by just bowing down. Or alternate, and that's what you see from behema baal mum and from the mountain, or from behema tama and from ilan yavish. Fine. So it says the Gemara, umanda usher. Well, if you hold of the opinion, this was all to explain the opinion that avni harsha nadaldalu that were bowed down to are permitted. What about if you hold that they are usher? What would be the reason to say that they're usher? Man da usher, the opinion who holds that it's usher, lahachi kasiv shakes the shakzenu v'ta'ev t'tavenu. That's why the pasuk says shakes the shakzenu v'ta'ev t'tavenu. You have to make this abominable. This has to be totally disgusting. Remember, this is the pasuk that we find where it says lo savi to'ev al beisecha va'yisa cherem kamo. Don't ever bring this abomination into your house. It should be a cherem shakes the shakzenu v'ta'ev t'tavenu. It has to be abominable to you. What do you see from this pasuk? So there's a very interesting limud that we have from this pasuk. This pasuk orients our interpretation for drashos in psukim. That's what we learn now from this pasuk. The afagav de asya medina leteira. That even though we would use drashos to teach us a heter, like what you just attempted to do, lo tasya, do not bring such a thing. In other words, from this, what this is telling you is that shakesa shaktsenu is that even though you would bring a tzad hashava, like what we just suggested before, that based on a tzad hashava, you should learn out that such a thing should be mutter. Now we're saying, no, don't make it mutter. From this pasuk, it tells you, shakeis t'shakzenu, ta'if t'tavenu, do not learn such a thing. We want to keep these things far away from you. Do not learn out a drasha to teach you that this should be mutter. That's what we learn from this pasuk, shakeis t'shakzenu. Okay, so that's the machlokas between Bnei Rav Chiya and Rav Yochanan. We don't know exactly at this point in the Gemara who holds what. We just know that one holds, that when it comes to avni harsha nadadlu, one holds that they are mutter, one holds that they are aser. So it says the Gemara, "Tastaim de Bnei Rav Chiya de Shau." It seems to be that we seem to have a proof that Bnei Rav Chiya are the ones who permitted the Avnei Harsha Nadadlu. When you have these mountains, when you have these stones that got disconnected from the mountain and people bow down to them, so they do not become mutter. That's Bnei Rav Chiya. How do we know this? To buy Chizkiya, because we know that Chizkiya asked the following question. Now remember, Why is it, what Rashi points out over here is that Bnei Rav Chiya, who are the Bnei Rav Chiya? Who are the sons of Rav Chiya? The answer is Yehuda and Chizkiya. Yehuda and Chizkiya were the names of Rav Chiya's children. So, the Bayi Chizkiya, so Chizkiya asked the following question. This was one of the Bnei Rav Chiya. Zaka Beitzel Eshtachavos La Mahu. If a person set up an egg to bow down to it, what is the halacha? The Gemara, so when he asks this question, the Gemara fills in that the assumption is that he set it up with the intention of bowing down to it, and he went ahead and he bowed down to it. The Kamibayla, and so what exactly is Chizkiya's question? That this erection, this setting up of the Beitza, and so the question that Chizkiya is asking, is that considered a significant enough of an act? That when he sets up this Beitza, that's considered enough of a hand in the creation of this Avodah Zarah for it to become Avodah Zarah. Avolo Zakav lo Mitzrah. But then what that implies is that if he wouldn't have set it up and just bowed down to the egg without any involvement at all, for setting up the egg for the purposes of Avodah Zarah worship, it wouldn't have become Aser. So Shema Mina, Bnei Rav Chiya Dechar. So clearly you see from here that it's the Bnei Rav Chiya who permitted it. Meaning to say, again, that Chizkiya has the found question. Chizkiya is one of the sons of Rav Chiya. And Chizkiya had the found question. If a person sets up an egg for the purposes of bowing down, and then he goes ahead and he bows down to that egg, does it become Aser or not? That was his big question. Now, why did he ask a question of if he set up the egg for the purposes of bowing down? Why didn't he just say, if a person bows down to an egg, does it become Aser? Clearly, it's because he held that if a person just bows down to the egg without doing anything to the egg, without doing any mice at all, that doesn't become Aser. So clearly you see that Bnei Rav Chiya were of the opinion that when you have something like Avni Harsha Nadaldu, that you had no human involvement in their creation, and a person just goes over and bows down to them, that they're mutter. So says Gemara Lo, no, not necessarily true. You do not have a very good proof to say that it's the Bnei Rav Chiya who hold that Avnei Har Shenadal would be permitted. Why not? Why isn't that good evidence from this Shaila, from this Chakira, that Chizkiya asked about Zakat Beitzel L'shtach V'sla? La'olam emalacha b'nei Rechia de'asri. Maybe they're the ones who hold that it would be Aser. And now the Bach changes over here. It's v'hishtach, not dihishtachva, but v'hishtachvila, avagav de lo zakva asura. And if he would have bowed down to it, even without setting it up, that would have been usur. So then why, what exactly is the question? Then if he holds that way, that all you have to do is bow down to an egg in order to make it usur, even if without setting up the egg, even without standing it up in order to bow down to it, if he holds that way, then what exactly was his question when he said zakav beitzel l'shtachvazla? V'achmaiskin, and here the case is, kigon shezakav beitzel l'shtachvazla v'lo ishtachvila. All he did here is he set up the Beitza and to bow down to it, but he didn't go ahead and bow down to it afterwards. That's his big question. When you just did this minor act of setting up the egg, of standing it up in order to bow down to it, and he didn't follow through by bowing down to it yet, is that considered to be enough of an act to make this into Avodah Zarah, to make it Aser? So now the Gemara says, now wait a second, Ulaman, going like which opinion? If he's assuming like the opinion that an Avodah Zarah of a Jew becomes Aser immediately, then Asura, then this becomes Aser. But if you hold like the opinion holds that once it all has to be worshipped, only once it's worshipped, then it becomes Aser. Halabacha, he didn't worship it yet. Again, the case over here is you have a Jew who sets up, Rahman al-Islam, sets up, excuse me, a Beitza for the purposes of bowing down, and now we're saying he doesn't follow up by bowing down to yet. He just set it up. Does it become Aser or not? That's Chizkiya's question. Now the Gemara is saying, well, wait a second. We know that there's already a machlokas when it comes to creating an Avodah Zarah, that if a Jew makes an Avodah Zarah, it becomes Aser immediately, according to one opinion. And there's another opinion who says, no, it doesn't become Aser immediately. It only becomes Aser once he worships it. So the question is, within which Tana was he asking this question? If you want to tell me he's asking the question within the Tana who says an Avodah Zarah of a Jew becomes Aser immediately, okay, so then this becomes Aser. The minute that he sets it up, it's an Avodah Zarah, and even though he didn't worship it, it's or even though a guy, whoever it is, didn't worship it, it becomes Aser. And if you all like the opinion who holds that, if he was asking the question according to the Tana, who says that it has to be worshipped in order to become Aser as Avodah Zarah, so good, he just set it up, he didn't actually worship anything. So what's the question here? So it says Gemara, lo tzrich, I'll tell you what the case is. I'll tell you what Chizkiah's question is really getting at. Kigon shezakav beitzel ishtach v'slav. For example, he set up an egg. He stood it up in order to bow down to it. V'lo ishtach v'lo. And the Jew himself did not actually bow down to this egg. And then a guy came along and the guy bowed down to it. Now the question is, when the Jew, once the Jew indicated that he's planning on worshipping this, the guy follows up and he bows down to it, does it become aser? Ki hada am Rav Yehuda am Rav Shmuel, like what Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel as saying that Yisrael shezak of Levena l'shtach v'zlaf, a Jew set up a stone in order, he stands it up in order to bow down to it. Uba over kachavim v'shtach v'la, and a guy came along and he bowed down to it. Asura, it's aser. So now the question is, v'kamibay lechizkiya's question is, Levena hu deminkra zekifasa, maybe when it comes to brick, well, there the standing up of the brick is very clear. You stood it up to stand up as a brick instead of lying horizontally. It's standing up vertically now. So maybe that's where Shmuel says his halacha, that if the Jew stood it up and then a guy comes along and he bows down to it, it becomes usher when the guy bowed down to it. Avol beitzel lo, but not by an egg. In other words, when it comes to levena, by standing it up, that's enough of an indication for what the Jew is planning. And therefore, when the guy follows up by worshipping it, so good. The Jew is thrilled. He's on board. The guy is acting almost out of shlichus for the Jew. So, oh, Dilmar, maybe you say Loshna. Maybe there's no difference. Maybe there's no difference between a brick and between an egg. And once the Jew indicated that he wants to worship this, if a guy follows up by bowing down to it, that becomes Aser. So teku. So that's a question. Okay, so either way, where does this leave us? Again, we wanted to say that from Chizkiah's question, you see that Chizkiah, again, is one of the Bnei Rav Chiya. You see that the Bnei Rav Chiya are the ones who hold that Avnei Harshen and Adalu are Mutter. And the Gemara said, no, you don't necessarily see that because they had a very different question that they were really asking. They wanted to know what happens if you set up an egg for the purpose of bowing down to it. You didn't actually bow down to it. A guy bowed down to it. What's the halacha? Does that egg become us or not? Is there enough of a giloy das? There's enough of an indication that by setting up the egg to bow down to it, is that enough of an indication that when the guy follows up by bowing down, it becomes Aser? So that leaves us, we don't know at the end of the day, we just know that there's machlokas amaran between Bnei Rav Chiya and Rav Yochanan. If Avnei Harshen Adadul are Aser Mutter, we went through the lamdas for that. We have good lamdas and we have a good explanation for their positions, but we don't know who holds what at the end of the day. So on this of the Gemara, basically there were two major topics we talked about. The first one was the Tanis topic that he said in front of Rav Sheshes, that if you have the guy who worships the mountain or the guy who worships these Zeraim or the Yirakos, they become Aser. The Yirakos become Aser, and the people who worship them are deserving of Tzayif. That's because it's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Second thing was the Machlokas HaMarayim about Avnei Harshen Adadalu, if those stones become Aser or Mutter. Okay.